Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. It's been 35 years, but I still remember one terrifying and hilarious event that occurred on that summer evening like it was yesterday. Earlier that day, I'd taken my fly pole and visited some of my favorite fishing holes on the South Fork of the Cahuilla River. But as I made my way up and down its rocky shores, what I discovered was that the water level was still too high to reach every place that I normally fished. Now, ordinarily, that wouldn't have bothered me. I'd just wait patiently over the next few weeks for the water level to drop and fish those holes at that time. However, on this particular day, my sixth sense, you know, that one that tells you where the fish are hiding, it wouldn't let me leave well enough alone. I knew where the big fish were, and I had to find a way to get there. What stood between where I was and where I wanted to be was a relatively narrow gorge with water flowing swiftly through it. I took a look, and I knew that I couldn't jump across. So I just decided to wait for my dad to get home, hoping that he'd be able to come up with a plan. And he didn't let me down. He took a look at what we were now up against, and in a matter of minutes, we each had a fishing pole in hand, and we were carrying this 16-foot-long fence board down to the river. Now, this old leftover fence board that back in the day cost like 12 bucks, it would serve as our bridge to the other side. Now, I've made some bad decisions in my life, but that day I got it right. I let my dad go first. Even now, if I close my eyes and really concentrate, I can hear the sound of that board slipping off the granite rock. I can see my dad getting his ticket punched for the ride of his life, his body helplessly shooting down that flume, and then in the pool of water where all this rushing water's raging into, what do I see? Two cowboy boots, like a couple little submarines coming up to the top. The end of that ill-conceived plan, it was one of the funniest things I've ever witnessed. And I would suggest this morning that the events of that day can help relate a truth, the truth about where we are, where we want to be when this journey ends, and the only bridge that is able to get us there. Generally speaking, our culture finds no fault in an individual's desire at the end of this life to attain heaven. Because like a boy who just knows that the big fish are on the other side of that narrow gorge, most people will admit that mankind has a deep sense of longing for so much more than this broken world has to offer. Over the course of our lives, we journey up and down these rocky shores that lead to career or money or possessions, all of which ultimately leaves us unfulfilled. We're constantly in search of that place where rest, peace, and the God-given desires of our heart will at last be found. So what we find is that the difficulties and disagreements between the world religions and the various spiritualities that we encounter, the difficulties aren't usually about where we want to go, but in how we're going to get there from here. How do we get there from here? I believe the answer to that question should be at the center of every sermon. And as we continue our march toward the events of Holy Week and Easter Day, what we discover in the scripture readings appointed for this Passion Sunday is an emphasis on that which makes Jesus Christ the only way to get there from here. He is our bridge to God. And the verses that we read this morning, they're a priceless gift from God our Father, given to those who seek Him, that they may, by His grace, step out in faith with the assurance that His Son will carry them home. Now, these passages are so filled with meaning that we cannot begin to unfold them in this short discussion. But let's consider two comforting truths that are clearly presented in these verses that invite us to step out and place our full weight on that bridge to God, which is Christ our Lord. The first truth is this: Jesus Christ is fully human. At Christmas, we celebrate his birth. On Good Friday, we commemorate his death. And the pages of the Bible are filled with countless people who saw, heard, touched, and shared their lives with a very human Jesus of Nazareth. His humanity is also clearly presented in the gospel that we read this morning. When speaking with the Jews, Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" They misunderstood his words, but their point is clear. They knew Jesus to be a man who's not yet 50 years old. Abraham had been dead for 2,000 years. Therefore, Abraham did not see Jesus, and Jesus didn't see Abraham. Our epistle reading also refers to Christ's human nature. The inspired writer to the Hebrews states, "But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into that holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." These verses identify Jesus Christ as our high priest, the mediator of the new covenant, the one who intercedes on our behalf with Almighty God. And they also point out the truth that he is not only our high priest, he is the victim. He is the sacrifice. It was his body and his blood that was poured out once for all, that he may enter into that holy place and obtain eternal redemption for us. In our gospel, in our epistle, and throughout the pages of Holy Scripture, the true and full humanity of Jesus is unquestioned. That's the first truth that we're presented with today. And here's the second: Jesus Christ is fully God. For evidence of that inconceivable truth, that the divine word of God spoken at creation was made flesh and dwelt among us, we turn once again to our gospel reading. After the Jews said to Jesus, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." When Moses stood in the presence of Almighty God, near the burning bush on Mount Horeb, he asked for God's name that he might tell the children of Israel who it was that sent him to them. God answered, "Say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you." So on this day, when Jesus stood in front of the Jews, he claimed that name as his own, and in doing so, revealed the truth to them and to mankind that, yes, there was a time when we were not, but there was never a time when he was not. In the time before us, in the time before Abraham, in the eternity before time began, Jesus Christ already was. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. There are people in our society who will try to mislead you by saying that Jesus never claimed to be God. Yet this is just one example of several that we find in the Gospels. And those who heard him speak that day, they knew exactly who he was claiming to be. In fact, that's why they took up stones to cast at him. the Jews were going to kill this man, Jesus, for claiming to be God. But as God, through his divine power, he hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them. In the scriptures appointed for today, there's clearly an emphasis on both the human nature and the divine nature, which are each fully present in the person of Jesus Christ. As we prepare to commemorate his death and celebrate his resurrection, we should ask ourselves why the truth that Jesus is fully God and fully man is at the center of this service. And for a simple explanation, I would ask you to consider once more that summer evening when my dad chose to step out onto a makeshift bridge to reach the other side, placing his faith in something that would, in the end, fail him. On that summer evening, the end result of misguided faith was just a good laugh. But when our days on this earth are complete, if we have stepped out onto a bridge that is unable to carry us home, the eternal consequences aren't funny at all. By emphasizing the full humanity and the full divinity of our Lord and our Savior, the liturgy of the church is seeking to assure the people of God that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, the way, the truth, and the life. By the grace of God, we place our faith in him. We believe him when he says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." No one can come to the Father except through his Son, because perfect atonement for the punishment that we deserve requires that which only the God-man is able to provide. We can step out onto the near end of that bridge to God because of Jesus' humanity, because he bore our sins in his human body on the cross, the just for the unjust. As a man, he's able to die as our substitute. The prophet Isaiah speaks of that substitutionary aspect of Christ's sacrifice, saying this about our Lord: "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed." At the near end, the bridge to God is anchored in the full humanity of our Lord. Now, as we step out onto that bridge and journey toward our Father's kingdom, what we find in the full divinity of Jesus is the assurance that the far end of that bridge is anchored in God himself. On the cross at Calvary, the history of mankind was forever changed because of the eternal Trinitarian nature of the atonement. As we read in our epistle, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. The truth that our Savior was never created, never brought into being, but has always existed with the Father and the Spirit in the eternity before time began, that truth offers infinite value to the atonement. The spotless eternal Lamb of God, who was slain before the foundation of the world, provides what no other sacrifice can: true holiness and the ability to declare once and for all, "It is finished." It is finished. The dying words of our Lord, cried out from the cross, are an emphatic proclamation that the work of our redemption is complete. Our Father knew what we were up against. He knew that we couldn't jump across that gulf that separated us from Him. He knew that we couldn't build a bridge of good works to carry us back to Him. He knew that with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. He knew that we could not reach out to Him, so He reached out to us through His only begotten Son. By His life, by His death, by His resurrection and His ascension, our Lord, the God-man, bridged that gulf between the finite, fallen creature and the infinite, holy Creator. This is the truth of the gospel, and it's the blessed assurance that He provides to all who place their faith in Him. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen.